We'll turn to page 3 of last chapter. We'll say the pardon prayer. There are a few that don't have textbooks. Okay, together, my God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love you. I beg pardon for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, and do not love you. Angel's Prayer. O Most Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I adore you profoundly. We offer you the most precious body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ, present in all the tabernacles of the world, in reparation for the outrages, sacrileges, and indifference by which he is offended. By the infinite merit of the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I beg the conversion of poor sinners. Eucharistic prayer. Most Holy Trinity, I adore you. My God, how do I love you? In the most blessed sacrament. Amen. So let's turn to the next chapter. I think a few don't have textbooks. There's a couple over here. Frida, no? There's two here that don't have a textbook. I think there's two more over here. Okay, before entering into this, probably the most used word in the English language is love. But it's the most misinterpreted word. If you go to Greek, the Greeks have four words for love. And it is eros, philia, storge, agape. Okay? Those are four different interpretations of the word love in the Greek language. So just be aware when you're talking with people, you say the word love, there's going to be a lot of different interpretations. We want to give a good Catholic Christian interpretation of the word, what the word love is. Okay? Because God is love. That comes from the Bible. God is love. God is love. So one of the basic thrust of this chapter is that we want to pray that we're aware of the fact that God is love, but God really loves the whole world, but he loves all of us individually. I repeat, he loves the whole world. 7 billion, I think they say about 7 billion people in the world today, about that. But he loves everyone individually. Now if you're the only person in the world, God still would love you. And he would send his only son, his name is Jesus Christ, from heaven to earth to save you. If you're the only person in the world, that's how important you are. Now the Diary of St. Faustina says, love is measured by the willingness to suffer for the loved one. Good Friday, the cross, right? Yeah. So love is measured by the willingness to suffer for the loved one. So love is not simply a feeling, or they say in Spanish, un sentimiento. It's not simply a feeling, but rather it's a willingness to undergo hardships. Once you ask a person that I really respect to give me a definition for love, and I think Lauren met her about 3 years ago, and she said, sacrifice. That was my mother. Okay? Love is sacrifice. That's a pretty good darn definition. And I think that's about the best definition I've ever heard in one word. Hmm? Well, love is sacrifice. Willing to sacrifice for others. So if you're aware that God loved you so much that he sacrificed his only son for you, then we're more able and willing to love others, to sacrifice yourself for others. You know, until we really recognize that God loves us and we try to practice love, we're never really going to be at peace. But once we understand how much God loves us, we try to practice it, then we start to experience a lot of joy and peace in our hearts. So before getting into the chapter, I want to make a brief commentary on something else that's not part of the lesson, but is very important, is today we celebrate three great saints. Three of my favorites. I love when we get to the end of September, the beginning of October, because there's some wonderful saints in this next week. And the name of these saints are Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael. You ever hear those names? Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael. Who are they? What's that? So they were archangels. Can anyone tell me anything about St. Michael the Archangel? Okay. He's the one that God used to fight against Satan in the very beginning, and he cast Satan out of heaven into hell because he rebelled against God. How about Gabriel? Tony? And she was going to be the mother of God, right? How about Raphael? The healer. You can read a whole book in the Bible. It's called the Book of Tobit, or Tobias, that speaks about this archangel Raphael. And what he did was he turned two tragedies into victories. First tragedy. Tobias lived with his son, Tobias Jr. And he went out to bury the dead, and these birds came when he was resting, and he was sleeping with his eyes opened. And the bird left some droppings in his eyes. And he got up and he tried to clear his eyes out, and he went to doctors. He ended up completely blind. Then another part of the story is there's this girl, her name is Sarah. She wants to get married and raise a family. The day of her wedding night, with her new husband, the devil comes in the bridal chamber and kills the guy off. Once, twice, three times, four times, five times, six times. You'd probably be afraid to marry that girl, huh? And then what God does is God sends Raphael, the archangel Raphael, from heaven to solve these two problems. And so what he does is he accompanies little younger Tobias to the house of Sarah because he was called to marry her. So he asks the parents for the hand of this girl to marry. And they say, well, let's first have a big party. So we're going to pray together. So they pray together, and nothing happens. They get married happily and form a good family. Then they go back to the house of the poor guy that's blind, and the archangel Raphael says, why don't you take the part of the fish that you caught and place the fish liver on the eyes of your old father? So he placed the fish in the eyes of the father, and these scales fell off the eyes of the fathers. So these two tragedies were turned into victories. So Raphael is patron of noviazgo, courtship, patron of marriages, patron of purity, patron of eyesight, patron of happy meetings, patron of joy, patron of prayer, patron of thanksgiving. And his name means God heals. So hopefully right now you have three new friends. And they are Michael, Raphael, and Gabriel. You have three new friends today. Hopefully you'll be walking with them all the day until you get to heaven. Amen? They want to be your friends. They want to be your friends. So hopefully you're going to be start to talk to them a little bit more, and they're going to try to draw you closer to Mary, and Mary is going to bring you closer to Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ to God the Father. And God the Father is in heaven. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Amen? Okay, so there's a introduction to the liturgical feast day. Michael, Raphael, and Gabriel. Number one, why am I here? I'm here to learn about Jesus. To get to know him. And learn to respond to his love. So learn about him, know him, learn to respond to his love. Question, how can you get to know God?
Prayer.
Prayer, good. Another way? Going to say the same thing?
Reading the Bible.
Reading the Bible, great. Anything more?
Going to church?
Good.
That was mine.
Good. How about this? I'm sure I know most of your parents. I know most of your parents. I think probably most of your parents have a DVD library. You know what that is? A DVD library? You know what that is? You got a whole shelf of movies. Do they? And I bet a lot of the movies are like the lives of the saints. Okay, who can tell me one of those movies that your mom and dad has?
St. Padre Pio.
Oh, Padre Pio. That's one of my favorites, no? Kind of scary, though, right? Battling with the devil.
Maria Goretti.
Maria Goretti, okay.
Faustina.
Marcelina Panavino, huh?
St. John Bosco.
Oh, John Bosco, yeah, great saint, too.
Saint Therese.
Saint Therese. Francis and Claire. Francis and Claire, yeah. Great. Any of you have Baquita? Have you heard of Baquita? Remember the African saint that they became a nun? He suffered so much. Yeah? How about Mother Teresa? You get one of Mother Teresa? John Paul II? JP2? Hmm? I mean, for the past 20 years, Ignatius Press has done some pretty good DVDs. And that's a good way to learn. Most of you speak Spanish. Did any of you ever see El Gran Milagro?
Yes.
You like that one?
Yes.
What's that about? You know? It explains one thing. There's a lot of subplots, but it explains one thing. Okay, church, but
sacrifice
of the Mass, yeah. So it explains the Mass from the very beginning until the very end. I think it's one of my favorites. It's called Claymation. We got the clay figures, kind of like cartoons made of clay men. The message is very good. Do you know it came out in public theater about 10 years ago? I saw it in Norwalk, and I saw it in, I think it was in Orange a couple of times because I liked, now you can get your own copy and you can see it. It's called The Great Miracle. The company is Dos Corazones, Two Hearts. Amen? Okay, so that's a good way to learn by watching good DVDs. No? There's a lot of bad stuff out there, but there's a lot of good stuff. No? Often I'll tell the immigrants, you know, in the United States, careful. You got the worst of the worst, and you got the best of the best. You got to choose. You got a lot of trash out there, but there's a lot of good stuff out there too. So keep away from the trash. Choose the good. Choose the good. Keep away from the trash. Okay, number two, does God love me?
Yes.
Sometimes or always?
Always.
God loves us always. You know what the devil does? You commit a sin, hey, God doesn't love me that much anymore. That's the devil. He loves even more. Why did God come? He came not to save the perfect, but the sinners. When I was in seventh grade, we had to study short stories back years ago. I don't think they still do that anymore, no? You know what's interesting? One of the short stories had, maybe it was in eighth grade, it was the story of the prodigal son. I had to study that in a public junior high school. Prodigal son, who preached that? Jesus Christ, right? You've heard of the prodigal son, right? So they actually gave that as one of the short stories, or one of the greatest short stories in the world. It's not one of, it is the greatest. And you can find it in where? Luke 15, right? You're about to say that, right, Tony? Tip of your tongue. I beat you to it, huh? So Luke 15. Okay, now who is God? It's a pretty simplistic question, but we have to try to do justice out of the short question. Who is God? God has revealed himself to us as a God of
mercy.
Okay? God of love. You know they say it's the same thing? Mercy is a dimension of love. It's God loving and forgiving the sinner. We are very important to him. He has revealed himself as a blessed
Trinity.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Who's the first person in the Trinity? Annabelle? How about the second? How about the third? How about the fourth? Okay, there is none. Okay. So the Father is the first. Who's more important, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit? Who's more important of the three? The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. The Father's more important? They're all equal in importance. Okay? You never put one more important than the other. Okay? They're all equally important. Here's a question. When you pray, who do you pray to? Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. What? Holy Spirit. That's pretty rare. Most people don't have this prayer context with the Holy Spirit. I pray a lot to Mary. I pray a lot to Mary. I like to pray the rosary. No? But when you pray the rosary, you're honoring Jesus too, because bless the fruit of thy womb, Jesus, right? So you're really honoring Jesus. And the very heart of the Hail Mary is Jesus, and Mary brings us to Christ. So the Protestants say, if you love Mary, she's going to pull you away from Christ. Is that true?
No.
What's a biblical passage? Annabelle, you know? John chapter 2, right? Wedding feast of Cana. Jesus turned water into wine through Mary's intercession. So Mary does not pull us away from Christ. She brings us closer to Christ. Right? Okay, what does this mean? God the Father loves you. God the Father loves you. Not only is he your maker, but he is also your father and thinks about you and is concerned. He puts concerned about you. That's a clumsy English, as we'd say, studying English. Okay? Concerned about you. Okay? So this is an incredible thing, is that there's never a moment that God is not thinking about you. There's never a moment, even a split second, which God is not thinking about you and loving you. Now, we forget about God very often, but he never forgets about us. And you know, one of the principal reasons why we commit sins is we forget about God. We become maybe temporary atheists. God doesn't exist. You know what an atheist is? You ever heard of atheism? What's an atheist? Frida, what's an atheist?
A person who doesn't believe in God.
Person that denies God's existence. No? You ever hear the story of the atheist who says, I'm an atheist, thanks be to God? Contradicting himself, right? He says, thanks be to God, he's admitted that God exists, right? You ever hear the child, the atheist, and the oak tree? Ever hear that one? It's a story of this little boy, he's about 8 or 9 years old, talking with an atheist, a man who had a degree in philosophy, and the man was telling the boy, God doesn't exist. And they were standing underneath an oak tree, and all of a sudden there was a strong wind, and the acorn fell from the tree and hit the man in the nose. And he got a nosebleed. And the little boy and the man said, see, if your God were so good, he would not allow acorns to fall from oak trees to hit people in the nose. The little boy said, no, God is so good, he doesn't allow watermelons to fall from trees. Amen, huh? Like that one? So the Bible says, the atheist says, this fool says in his heart that God does not exist. One of the Psalms, right? Okay, now, what does this mean? God the Father loves you. God the Father surrounds you with intimate affection. Any good spellers here? Affection. Lauren? One F or two Fs? Okay, two Fs. With intimate affection at all times. Especially when you are sorrowful and rejected. So when you're sorrowful and you feel a little bit dejected, what do? Do you throw a pity party? What's a pity party? Oh, pobrecita. Poor me. You know, what we want to learn this year is when you're going through tough times, that's the time to talk to Jesus. Tell him what's bothering you. Tell him what's bothering you. You know, a lot of people come to the priest. This has happened more than once. Person goes to my room, sits down, and starts to cry. Upon the desk, cry, upon the desk again, and talking and venting and just talking a mile a minute. I'm just there sitting there listening, and 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 25 minutes, upon the desk, taking all my Kleenexes, I got to get some new Kleenexes, you know. And after 25 minutes, the lady says, thank you, Father, you resolved my problem. I didn't even open up my mouth. You know? You know, I didn't have the intention to open up my mouth either. I wanted the lady, just get it out. Get out, you know, then I'll pray for you, I'll place you on the altar and the mass, and you're going to feel much better. Now, if a priest listens to someone can resolve a problem, God even more. God much more powerful than I am. So we have to learn that God is always present to us. You know the expression, a fair-weathered friend? Know what that is, Indai? A fair-weathered friend? He's a friend only in the party, but once the funeral comes, he takes for the hills. So a fair-weathered friend is just there in the happy moments. But a faithful friend is there in the tough minutes, tough moments. Jesus is always there present. He's never going to abandon you. You believe it? Más o menos, huh? Hopefully you really believe, because he is there. So every night before we go to bed, talk to our Lord at least for a couple minutes. Go through the day, maybe rewind the film of the day, kind of walk through the day and thank him for the good things. Tell him you're sorry for maybe the times when you failed him. If you got a question, ask him the question. Then end by saying, Lord, I love you. But I pray that tomorrow I'm going to love you even more. Good way to end the day. Huh? Great way. Okay, next. What does this mean? God loves you. His two favorite names are Father and Mercy. Father and Mercy. His greatest desire is to share his mercy with you He forgives your sins in the sacrament of
reconciliation.
Okay, hey, got the big word, huh? That's a big word. What does reconciliation mean? You ever hear that word? Gabriel used the big college word, reconciliation. Never heard that word before? So, Monica, what does it mean, reconciliation?
Confession.
Okay, yeah, partially, but what would it mean in dealings with other people? Teresa? Therese? What? Yeah. Well, but you're using the same word. How about a synonym? You're warm, but you're not hot.
To patch your relationship with God.
Okay. Apologize. Say it again. Patch up your relationship with God. Yeah. So say, for example, I insulted Aisha. So what I say, I'm sorry, I had a bad day. Will you forgive me? Yeah, I'll forgive you. We shake hands, we reconcile. Okay? That'd be reconciliation. So you commit a sin, we hurt God. You go to confession, we reconcile ourselves with God. So if the bridge is broken, we reestablish the bridge that's been broken. Okay? So like that image. Any future architects here, okay? Or engineers. Okay, okay, next. A confession. You know, once it happened that I was on retreat and I drove to the house of priest where I go to confession and I was ready to make my confession and I was paralyzed. I couldn't get out of my car. I was afraid. I didn't want to go to confession. So I got in my car and I drove. I didn't go to confession. It was the devil. And when I was driving away, I was getting angry at the devil because he convinced me, no, you're not prepared. You got to prepare yourself better. The priest is going to get angry at you. He's going to give you a really big penance. He's going to bark at you. And all these things, I was like filled with terror, fear. That never happened before. And I recognize the devil does that. So before like a big victory, the devil tries to put roadblocks. You ever notice when you're driving, there's a detour, there's a roadblock, and you have to take another exit or something? That's what the devil does. He tries to fill us with fears. So be aware that the devil is going to try to block your progress, and he's going to try to block you from communion and confession. If he can block you from communion and confession, that's a major victory for him. Not a minor, but a major victory for him. I think it's pretty normal to have a little bit of fear. You go to confession. I think everyone experiences it. And just kick the devil in the butt. Go anyway. So what does this mean? God the Father loves you. As a good father, God the Father protects. He protects us. He judges us by loving us. If I embrace His love, then I am saved. If I refuse it, then I am condemned. Not by Him, but by my own self. Because God the Father never condemns, but only loves and saves. If someone is lost for all eternity, who's at fault? The individual, right? But God doesn't want anyone to go to hell. But if you don't want to go to heaven, God's not going to force you to heaven. You have to want to go, right? But God respects our freedom. He's not going to force Himself upon any of us. Love is a free choice, huh? We want to go to heaven, we can make it. If we don't want to go to heaven, I mean, that's our choice. All of us should really want to go to heaven, right? We really should. Okay, so what does this mean? Jesus Christ loves you. He gave His life. He gave His life to save you. And now He's living at your side every day to enlighten, strengthen, and free you. Enlighten, strengthen, and free you. What does this mean? Jesus Christ loves you. Jesus Christ loves you and gives Himself to you in Holy Communion. Holy Communion. He wants to receive Holy Communion at least every Sunday. Okay, an analogy for you to understand the sacraments. What the doctor is to the body, confession is to the soul. And what going to a good restaurant and having a good meal is to your body, Holy Communion is to the soul. Got it? Remember the analogy, no? You're sick, you go to the doctor. The doctor gives you some medicine. Maybe gives you a shot. Maybe gives you a flu shot. And then you feel better. You're hungry? Have a good meal. And you feel strong. So the most healthy souls are those who go to confession often and communion often. Those are the most healthy people in their soul. So you want to have a healthy soul, don't we? Yeah? How often can we go to communion? Just on Sunday?
Every day.
Every day? Yeah. You know, even twice a day. Do you know that? You go to Mass in the morning, then you go to Mass in the evening, you can actually go to communion twice a day. Indi works in the church. You go to communion once a year? How often? You got the best job in the world, huh? After the priest, huh? Yeah, there are people. And I think some of your parents will sometimes, well, I went in the morning. I've got a free afternoon. I'll go with my kids. I'll go. Your mom or dad, Frida? Your mom sometimes go twice a day?
My mom goes twice a day sometimes.
Twice a day?
Basically at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Then 6:15? Yeah. Nothing wrong with that? But you make sure that you receive communion well. It doesn't become something mechanical, like a routine. You receive communion with greater love every time. Try to prepare yourself. Otherwise, it can become something of a routine. You become jaded. You become mechanical. And you lose fervor. So every time you want to go, make sure that you just receive communion. Then you forget what happened when you receive communion in your heart. Talk to the Lord afterward. Some type of thanksgiving you should do. Like if you invite me to your house to eat and I eat and run. You know that American expression, eat and run? No? So I rush in your house, where's the hamburger? And I just gobble it down, thanks, see you later. What a rude dude, huh? And it'd be pretty rude, huh? That's not good manners, is it? Well, we don't want to have bad liturgical manners either. We want to have good liturgical manners, right? Prepare ourselves well. Receive the Lord with love. Stay after. Thank Him. And then we've recharged our spiritual batteries. Okay, what does this mean? So, He wants you to receive Holy Communion at least every Sunday. What does this mean? Jesus Christ loves you. Jesus Christ loves you and remains with us in the most blessed sacrament. He waits for you to visit Him. Eucharistic prayer. So let's say this prayer together. Most Holy Trinity, I adore you. My God, I love you in the most blessed sacrament. 11. What does this mean? God, the Holy Spirit, loves you. God, the Holy Spirit, loves you. He pours into your heart the love of God which transforms you. What does this mean? God, the Holy Spirit, loves you. God, the Holy Spirit, loves you and gives you His... Do I even know how many gifts of the Holy Spirit there are? How many? Seven. Do you know them? Da-da-da-da. See them? What are those? You see, if you turn to the back of your binder, you can see the Church of St. Peter Chanel. You can see that bird. What type of bird is that?
Dove.
It's a dove, and that dove symbolizes who?
Holy
Spirit. And what are those drops?
Fire.
Okay, it's the fire of the Holy Spirit. Pentecost, the Holy Spirit descended upon the apostles in tongues of fire. There you have the seven gifts. Seven gifts. You know when you receive them? In your baptism. Confirmation fortifies them. But in baptism, you receive them. So let's go back to number 12. God, the Holy Spirit, loves you and gives you His seven gifts. The sacrament of confirmation. And they are wisdom, which is the greatest gift. Understanding. Knowledge. Counsel. Fortitude, piety, and fear of the Lord. Those are the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. What does this mean? Returning this love is the meaning. Returning this love is the meaning of life. Turn this love is the meaning of life. I'm going to teach you a prayer that could be one of the best prayers in your life. And it's this. God, I love you. Help me to love you more and more each day. Beautiful prayer. It's one of my favorites. I say that. God, I love you, but help me to love you more and more each day. You like that? I thought you did. It's a good one. And it's very simple. I mean, a kindergarten kid could say that, right? But if it's said with meaning, that's very pleasing to God. Very pleasing to God. And you have to say that every day. Somebody said, well, he already knows it. Yeah, but he wants to hear it. Now, this is embarrassing for you, but You say, Mom, I love you. Don't say that. I already know that. No, gosh, your mother's never going to say that. She's going to say, I love you too. Thanks for telling me. Yeah. Yeah, teenagers don't want to say that. That's kind of mushy. Nothing wrong with that, no? Actually, it's good. You know, I noticed my mom has 49 grandchildren. That's a big family, huh? And I visit her once a year, and her grandchildren come, and they all love her. She'll always end up, you know, I really love you. And they kind of blush a little bit. Yeah, thanks, Grandma. They all gravitate to her. You know? The person just loves a lot. You know? And it's almost as if they want to hear it. At least I can go to Grandma and she's going to say it, no? You know, she's kind of like a little child, even though she's 86 years old, no? But we have to be like little child, Jesus says. Be very simple. Not so complicated. Sometimes we're too complicated. Complicate our lives, no? Okay, so we are on what number?
14.
What does this mean? Returning this love is the meaning. Returning this love is the meaning of life. The Christian life is a journey of growth. Growth in love. How can I accept and return this love? So these are five ways that we can really be like Jack and the Beanstalk, right? And grow, 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 grow until we pass the skies, huh? Confession and accept God's mercy. Mass every Sunday and receiving, okay, Eucharist or Holy Communion. Okay. Prayer, especially the Rosary. Even though the rosary is kind of hard to pray because it's kind of repetitive, but if you do it, it's very pleasing to the Blessed Mother. It's not an easy prayer. So we're learning how to pray with Belinda, but you have to do is you say the words, but you have to try to think about the mystery. The words should be like the background music. And the mystery, try to enter into it, a scene of the Annunciation, Visitation, Birth of Jesus. Try to enter and be part of the scene. And the rosary transforms us, helps us to become more like Jesus and Mary. You become like what you love. You love Jesus and Mary, become great followers of Jesus and Mary. Okay, now, charity. Leaving behind self-absorption and seeking the Tony? The good of others. Seeking the good of others. Do you ever hear of the egotistic trinity? Me, myself, and I. I'm the center of attention. No? That's not good, is it? It should be Christocentric and not egocentric. Christ has to be the center of our lives. Not theology, but meology, huh? Okay, and obeying the... Are they 10 commandments or 10 suggestions? The 10 commandments, right? Okay, so if we do that, hey, we're going to be able to love God. Is there a 15 and 16 in your text?
Yes.
You know, in my text I only have 14. Is there a... Is there 14? Okay, there's a 16. Do you have a blank sheet for me, because my text doesn't have it. It's not there. Okay, wow. What are the Ten Commandments? Thou shalt not have strange
gods
before me. B. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. C. Remember to keep holy the
Sabbath
day. D. Honor thy father and mother. E. Thou shalt not... Okay. F. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Good. G. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear against your neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's
wife.
Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's...
Good.
Okay, why is it so important to obey the Ten Commandments? These are three reasons. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And you'll remain in my love just as I have kept my Father's commandment and remain in his love. B. The way of beauty. Proclaiming Christ means showing that to believe in and to follow him is not only something right and true, but it also is something...
righteous.
Something what?
Righteous.
Righteous? Something righteous. Capable of... you should be filling life with new splendor and profound meaning. So instead of filling... profound meaning, even in the midst of difficulties. Growth and maturity... growth and maturity and happiness, it is an attractive way of living filled with wisdom, self-fulfillment, and love. Great. Okay, have you taken the attendance? Have you taken the attendance? Not yet. Oh, you have? Okay, good. I'm going to say our consecration to Mary. And we're going to make a short visit to the Blessed Sacrament. Okay? Say our consecration to Mary, and then we'll have a short visit to the Blessed Sacrament. We're going to make a genuflection for about a minute or two. We're going to be in front of the Blessed Sacrament and talk to Jesus for about a minute or two. And then you'll be able to go out the left door to be with your parents. Okay, prayer of consecration to Mary. Together. Mary, my Queen and my Mother, I give myself entirely to you. Show my devotion to you. I consecrate to you this day my eyes, my ears, my mouth, my heart, my whole being without reserve. Wherefore, good Mother, as I am your own, keep me and guard me as your property and possession. So they're going to return the binders, right? So just make sure you got your names and your binders, right? Okay, you can pass them over to the left. Make sure that you have... yeah, if you could put their name tag on it, that'd be the best way to do it. Okay.